Today's sermon is going to be all about the kids. Lord, before we start, I just want to say thank you for this word. This was a pretty late one yesterday, and if today's going to be all about the kids, may the kids hear the word that you've got them to listen to today, that there's something for them today that they need. Let's hope they want it too. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask a request. Could I get you guys to vacate the front two rows? And anyone under the age of 25, pad up, as they say in cricket, sit up the front. I'm looking at you, Summer. You haven't moved yet. Anyone under 25? Yes, and Jared and Jess, if someone wants to join them for some sort of parental supervision, might be a good idea. You are not under 25.
Can I just ask, is this IQ or age?
The IQ's on this side, the age is on this side. How many have we got? 12. Jared's there for caring reasons. 12. Are there 12? Let's do that again. 1, 2, 3, 4, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. No, 11. I'm going to count under 13, under 12 there. Excellent. Okay. It's all about the kids. You might wonder what that slide is up there. That's all my mates up the back. We've played basketball together for, I reckon, 20 to 30 years with some of those blokes there. It's good fun playing sport and stuff with old dudes who know all your jokes, who know lots of stories and all the rest of it. And then those three ragtags came along, those ones in the front. I say to you boys, it is so much fun playing with you guys, primarily because we're bigger and better than you. But getting to pass the torch to you is so much fun. And every week you are picking something up. So I had an alternative picture for the for this slide. Probably not that one to use. You learn some things there too each week, don't you? Yes. I'm in the middle of school holidays. Everyone else? Yeah? Yeah? What have you been up to? I've been at work. Yeah. Had a good time, Daniel? This is the bad seat to sit in because I'm going to pick on you really bad and Lynn knows this. I've been at work. Kids are having a good time. Anyone want to know where Luke and Siobhan are? Yeah, in the middle, in Hawaii somewhere. They've left Hawaii now. Yeah, we're stuck here. If you don't think that everything that we do is about kids, what's next door? Through the wall. Come on, I need you to participate here. It's going to be a long one. School, thank you. Okay, so we've got a school right here, okay? Yeah? Kids come here to learn things, yes? Yeah, so I want you guys to pay attention. Today's about you. Got some news. I've said this before, and I've got all four of my kids here so I can pick on them for once. This is really good. I will be dead soon. Does that bother you? Please don't celebrate, Johnsy. Not that soon, but another 40 years or so, I won't be here. Okay? I hope it's longer. I want to make my superannuation last, but I won't be here. And it's going to be your turn. You got that? So I've spoken before about life's a relay race. Okay? Josh, come up here. Come up here. Stand on stage. Stay up there.
He's
not quick. So I said our life's a relay race, and we say that we've got to run the race. And you get to the end of the race, and Paul mentions this. He says to the end, and he says, I've fought the good fight. I've run the good race. You've got this picture of that when he's writing these words, that he's like this. He's like, oh, man, I've fought the good fight. I've done the good race. He's not. He's in what they call the changeover period. You know, when you watch a relay race, and they get to that point, and they've got the, don't drop this. They've got the baton, and they're getting ready, and they're getting ready, and they're getting ready to hand it on. That's when you've run the good race, when you hand it on. Now, you might think, though, Josh, you can put that baton down. I want you playing with that. Grab a seat. Thank you. You might think that that's when you pass away, and that's it, and it's all done, and all the rest of it, and you don't have to do it anymore. We're passing the baton now, okay? That's why you guys are here, under 25s. Who's under 25? Yeah, who drives? Anyone? You don't get adult car insurance yet. You have to pay more than us. It's because we don't trust you. So decisions we make today will impact who? You, your generation, and then the generation after, and the generation after. It keeps going. Now, what does Matthew 7:20 say? By their fruit you'll recognize them. The fruit that comes from my tree, I'm a tree. I've actually been called a tree many times. Fruit that comes from my tree is what you judge me by. So if you muck up, people are going to say, maybe the tree's no good. Yeah? Yeah. I'm in trouble. There's things that we do, though, have a long-standing effect. The next slide. I want you to look at these guys. Oh, laugh it up. Just before you laugh too hard, the one in the middle is one of my uncles. That's one of my mum's brothers. And the one on the far right is also one of my mum's brothers. He was killed in a motorbike accident at the age of 37. That picture's pretty special. Did you boys watch on Monday night we were playing basketball and there was an old guy, really, really old guy. And he came and sat next to me on the bench. And he was chatting to me. And then I said, I've got to go, mate. I've got to get back on. And I subbed you out. And he went back to his bench. Squeaks, Dad. That's him, second from the right. Okay? Those guys, that's back in the early 70s. Those guys had a dream, if you like. And they said, we want to give kids somewhere to play. We want to give kids somewhere to exercise. They were all involved in the Salvation Army. And they formed what then at the time was called the Salvation Army Basketball Association. If they hadn't done what they'd done, you guys wouldn't be playing sport that you are. I wouldn't be involved with the West Side Church basketball. It's only because these guys said, do you know what? It's about the kids. And playing sport is good. And being involved with kids is good. And kids hanging out with kids is good. You follow me here? Yep. If they hadn't done that, you guys wouldn't be doing what you're doing. The other thing they said was, not only is it good, that's, by the way, is the Coca-Cola courts across from Theberton, where the netball courts used to be. If they hadn't done that, not only wouldn't you be here, but you wouldn't be going on holidays all the time in July. Because they had this vision. They said, rather than just playing sport locally, why don't we get together with other groups nationally and go away on trips and celebrate all the things that are good about life? And that what happened after that, the next slide shows, that's where that comes from. Because those crazy old dudes, you see one of them had really high silly socks and all the rest of it, a silly moustache. That's Movember. All good things happen in Movember. You could do that this year. Yeah. Have you seen me do it? Nick. Yeah. I noticed Anne-Marie. Anne-Marie just went like this. Some of the girls have already started. I'm not looking at my wife. I'll get in trouble. Every year I get to go away and speak into those guys. Now, that's not sport to me. That is passing on the baton to the next generation. That's teaching kids. And on Monday night, I coach probably half of those kids still play juniors under my tuition, if you say. And we were thumping a team. And one of the dads of one of these kids comes up to me on the sideline and just taps me on the back and he says, you know what? He goes, you're not teaching them sport anymore. I said, what do you mean? He goes, you're not teaching them sport. When they start beating a team comfortably, you pull them back. When they're in a tough contest, you tell them to go and go really hard and give it all you got and thump them and do all the things that boys do on the court and all the rest of it. But once you get up again, pull back. And that it's about everybody. And that the small kids should be able to get a go and the big kids should be allowed to rough and tumble and all the rest of it. He said, you're actually teaching them life. And it really hit me when he said that. I lost track of what we were doing in the game. But it really hit me that fact that that is doing life. That's doing life with people. And that the awesome responsibility that you have is to teach these guys life. Yep. That's what it's about, kids. And if we don't teach you, what will happen? Well, I won't look at Hope because there is a point that we teach her and she doesn't listen. But we'll move on for that. From the day you were born, pick on Hope. From the day we were born, you were our hobby. Did you know that? You've been our hobby now for 16 years. Yep. So we've stopped all our other hobbies just to look after you and to teach you, right? Are we teaching you so that you're taught, or are we teaching you so that you can teach someone else? And so they can teach someone else. And how long is that going to go on for? A long time. Yeah. Generation after generation to 1,000 generations. That's what we're doing. Well, when you have kids one day, you are going to reflect on, like I do, what a wonderful job your parents did. I can stare at you all day. So I want you guys to put up your hands. Who's got perfect parents? Give me a high five. I noticed my children did not raise their hands, and we will be having words after. That's exactly my point. What if you don't have kids? For those who don't have kids, Paul did not have kids. He said straight up, not married, no kids. Did he impact the next generation? Yes? 100%. I got upset at somebody today. He said earlier in the week, he said he impacted 110%. No, he didn't. He can't. He can only impact 100%, but I'll digress. It annoys me. Those are not my kids. Now, if you look at that picture again, you'll see number 4 on the righty, that's mine. And then you'll see next to him is Daniel and then Jonty at the back. The others are not my kids. The one on the far left, I only met a few months ago. Yet he approached us in June and said, I want to come along, I want to be a part of what you do, I want to learn from what you guys do, I want to experience it, I want you to teach me. How good is that? Yeah. That's what Transformers is, you're teaching people. Yeah. So our job as oldies, like the old bloke at the back, is to mentor that next generation. And you might say, who's the next generation? It's these guys, but it's your neighbour. It's basically anyone you experience, particularly though, the young people, because they're going to outlive us. Are you going to outlive me? You might. You never know. Science is wonderful. What can we do for the next generation? Next slide. Matthew 28, 16 to 20. Now, I do all the talking all the time, so I'm going to hand this over. Daniel, you should never have sat there. I want you to read out that Bible reading for us. You don't want to. That's why I'm telling you to do it.
Speak into the microphone. Go. The 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of age."
Excellent. That's cool. They call that the Great Commission. It's basically Jesus is about to head off and he says, this is your job. Now, trick question, because you read it out, so I'm going to pick on you. You should never have sat in that chair. It says 11 disciples. Weren't there 12? Where's the other one? Well, come on, anyone, any of you guys can jump in. Tell me where the other disciple is. Judas, very good. Yes, Judas was off doing other things. He decided he wanted to get involved with other things at the time. So the 11 disciples go to Galilee and Jesus said, go and make disciples. Okay, so Mike, you've been preaching a lot this year about making disciples. Who knows what a disciple is? Next slide will tell us what a disciple is. I went to the wonderful resource that is Wikipedia. Yeah, Wikipedia is much more accurate than dictionaries. Yes, is this true? You know who writes Wikipedia? Yeah, we all do. just jump in there and write something. Wikipedia tells me, disciple is a follower and student of a mentor, teacher, or other figure. So it's someone who's being taught, someone that follows. Okay, so when you stick a plug into a PowerPoint, what happens? Until you turn it on, that's a very good point. So we know about electricity. You know how electricity works? Yep, okay, cool. So what happens with people who know how electricity, electricians we call them, what do they do? Electric stuff, that's very good. Electric Avenue, yeah, there's so many jokes I can think I'll come up. But they know how to work and they know how to harness it, yes? Sort of, yes, excellent, okay. So their job as an electrician is to take, what do? They take on a disciple. Now some will call them an apprentice. So when you have apprentice electricians, what does an apprentice electrician do? Yeah. Not much, this is true. That's why you don't pay them much. An apprentice electrician learns about electricity and then passes it on. You ever played with electricity before? Now, boys, just be honest with me. You have? Yes? Okay. Be very careful, okay? And if you don't believe that electricity is dangerous, Google it. Yeah, yeah. It's a really good video. I was actually going to put it on the screen, but I thought, no, that's probably too risky. Of a dude sticking a knife in a toaster. Don't do it. All right? Explicitly you. Don't do it. Okay? Electricity's dangerous. Yes? Who would agree electricity's dangerous? If harnessed well, it's fantastic. Have we got electricity here today? We have. Yes. Yeah, very good. You're listening. So let's draw a parallel with God's word and electricity. Okay? If you've got an electrician that's got to pass on to the apprentice, and the apprentice then grows up and becomes an electrician, passes through school, becomes a qualified electrician, what does he do? Passes on to the next apprentice. He then becomes a fully-fledged electrician. What does he do? Passes on to the next one, and on we'll go. What happens if they muck it up? And it's shocking. I'm done. If we don't teach you guys how electricity works, you're not going to have electricity. There's going to be a lot of dead kids around the place and all the rest of it. But if you think the idea of electricity is knives sticking them in toasters, don't do it. Knives in PowerPoints, don't do it. It's a bad, bad, bad thing. But you'll lose electricity. In one generation, if we don't teach you electricity, electricity's finished. Yeah? Yeah? Same happens with God's word. Okay? If we don't teach you guys about God's word, in one generation, it'll all be over. Yeah. Okay? So, you have to listen. Hope. You have to listen. Our job's to teach. Yep. Our job is to teach, their job is to listen. There's only one problem, isn't there, Hope? What's the problem about old people? Do old people know what they're talking about? No. No, thank you. There it is. That's the problem with old people. We don't know what we're talking about. If you don't pay attention, you are going to put a knife in a toaster. And you're going to put a knife in a PowerPoint in life. Yeah. And you'll learn how dangerous it is by it going boom. If you don't believe me, Google it. Yeah? Okay? God's word's exactly the same. Life is exactly the same. We have got stuff to learn. And you know how we know? Because some of us here have stuck a knife in a toaster. Yeah. Yeah, and we know how bad it is. By the way, if you Google the really good one, or it's YouTube, I think it is, it's actually a fake, by the way. You can read about it. It's spectacular. Now, I want to jump to Jesus' day, okay? So we're going to talk about God's word and discipling. In Jesus' day, not everybody was a disciple, okay? To be a disciple is a big thing. So you guys are disciples, yeah? Not everybody got to be a disciple. You had to, a disciple essentially means you're an apprentice. So you're an apprentice rabbi. You know what a rabbi is? Rabbi is the teacher. The apprentice is the learner. An apprentice rabbi is essentially someone who's training to become a rabbi. So as a Jewish kid, and this is fascinating learning about this week. As a Jewish kid, they had to memorize the Old Testament. Could you imagine that? And the idea was, if every copy of the Bible written down was destroyed, if every rabbi was killed, we still had God's word. We still had the story. We still had all the history. And we had all that to share because where is it? It's up here. In the young people, not in us old people because we've forgotten it all. But in you guys, you will remember the Old Testament. Could you imagine that? And we're not talking about the New Testament. So the New Testament, some of the stuff, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, hold my bike till I get on. Have you heard that before? I've now passed that on. My parents taught me that. Matthew, Luke, and John, hold my bike till I get on. That stuff can be fun to read. Yeah? Could you imagine learning Genesis? Genesis a bit exciting? Yeah, not too bad. Could you imagine having to learn Exodus? Not too bad. Leviticus? Oh, I'm starting to switch off. Numbers? Deuteronomy? How you doing? Judges? Yeah? I'll tell you, not the most exciting books of the Bible. The Bible is all good and it's all good for teaching, but crikey, if I had to learn that, mate. That's the world that Jesus grew up in, where the kids had to know all that stuff. So who becomes a rabbi? So all you guys know that. Who becomes an apprentice rabbi? You'd think it's the best of the best. Yeah, they get it? That's not true. You would have to approach a rabbi. And you go up to the rabbi and you'd say, I would like to learn from you. So you pick a rabbi that you know. You pick a rabbi that knows his stuff. And you pick a rabbi that you like and you think, yeah, there's a little bit of something going on here. Dear rabbi, would you teach me, please? And in 99.9% of the cases, the rabbi would say, go and ply your trade. And by that, go and ply your trade, it means, nah, you're not good enough. And you would go and be a fisherman. You'd be a carpenter. You'd follow whatever your dad did. Might be working with us. You'd go and do your thing. You're not up to scratch. And that would happen with most cases. Could you imagine if he said, you're going to be a tax collector? Yeah, someone's going to do it. So you're 14 to 15. You've approached the rabbi. You've said, you're one shot at it. Rabbi, can I be the guy? And the rabbi says, go and ply your trade. So you're not a rabbi. Sad? Yep. But if you knew enough and then you clicked with that rabbi, what happens? You get to go to rabbi school. How good is that? Rabbi school. I'm excited this morning, Daniel. You're getting to learn about electricity. What do they do at rabbi school? Rabbi stuff. Yeah? Very good. What would happen if at night they would have rabbi tea? Would they? What do they have for rabbi tea? Rabbit. Next slide. Spell it out. Rabbi tea. This is what you do at rabbi school, okay? At rabbi school, you've got to memorize your teacher's words, okay? Everything that your teacher teaches you, everything that your coach teaches you, you've got to memorize. Yep. You've already memorized the Old Testament. Hopefully you've gotten the habit of memorizing it. You've got to memorize everything they say. You follow? Good luck. You've got to learn the rabbi's interpretations and traditions. How are you going to go with that one? So not only you have to learn what I say, you have to learn about why I say it. Yep. You have to imitate the rabbi. Daniel's laughing. This is the fun one. So I preached before about the fact, if the rabbi was left-handed, you've got to learn to do things left-handed. If the rabbi tells bad dad jokes, you have to learn to tell bad dad jokes. Yeah. You are basically learning to become the rabbi. You are going to imitate, copy the rabbi. And what's the fourth one? Make disciples. So you then graduate from rabbi school and you go and get yourself an apprentice and you make more rabbis. You following me? Okay. So the grown-ups here, that's passing the baton. So we pass the bat to the kids. As we're passing it, they learn and then off they go and then they pass it to the next guy. You can picture this relay race. But it's not like the Olympics where they go around one time or two times. The relay race keeps going and going and going and going and going. And your part is how big? Yeah, if it's 4x400 sort of thing and it's a 400 you run, it's one lap. That's it. Yep. We get wrapped up in our importance. We think the world won't go on without us. It will go on without you. Your job is to play your part and pass it on to you. So listen. What can we do? We can bring you to church. Yeah? Rather than memorizing my words, I can teach you Jesus' words. Yeah? Rather than learning my interpretations, traditions, I could teach you the traditions of God. Is that a little bit more important? And then you can imitate Jesus. Is that a little bit better? Jesus told dad jokes, by the way. Yeah, I'm sure of it. Yeah. Because God is good and dad jokes are good. This podcast is not going to make any sense because there's a whole lot of staring going on. What do you call a Greek parachutist? Condescending, my favourite joke of all time. I know you've heard it before. Next slide. Now, I know you guys are switching off a little bit, so we're going to learn some things from Star Wars, okay? They all look familiar, those guys? Okay? So the story of Star Wars. So forgive me leaning on my notes here because I had to ask Daniel some of these names last night. So you got on the left there, the old bloke with the long hair. That's Rabbi Qui-Gon Jinn. Is that right? So he mentors his disciple who's on the left. That's Obi-Wan Kenobi. Yep. and he mentors him in the ways of the Force. How am I going so far? Pretty good? Good. Okay. Obi-Wan becomes a rabbi, and he takes Anakin Skywalker as his disciple. How am I going? Got that right? Good. That's a little Annie there on the left in the middle between the two old dudes. Okay. Anakin, actually, we might leave that bit out. Yeah, we'll leave that bit out. Yeah, if you don't know, I don't want to ruin the movie. So we'll leave the Anakin bit about who Anakin goes to teach us. Turns out that old Rabbi Obi-Wan, so up the top three up the back, he's the one on the left, he didn't teach Anakin too well. So he goes into hiding, yeah? And he goes into hiding until that bloke on the top right, that's Luke Skywalker, till Luke decides, we need your help, Rabbi. So Luke goes seeking the rabbi, and what does the rabbi do? Teaches Luke in the ways of the Force. Yes? Luke turns out to be pretty good. Who does Luke learn the ways of the Force, though, from? Not only Obi-Wan, because Obi-Wan wasn't that confident in what he was teaching, so he gets a master teacher, a little green Muppet. Yeah? What's his name? Yoda. That's him. Yeah. So he teaches Luke. Luke then goes into hiding, because it seems to be what all Jedis do. They get tired, and they don't want to keep doing this rabbi thing. And then again, an apprentice seeks out the rabbi. That's Rey down the front there, the young girl out the front. She seeks Luke and she says, please teach me. How am I doing? Did I get Star Wars pretty much right? Yeah? Okay. Anyone work for Disney? If you don't work for Disney, can you pass this on to them? I want tickets to the next movie. Yeah, free plug. The next one's coming up. So Star Wars is not about Star Wars. What's Star Wars about? It's about disciple making. Yeah. Okay. So if you can't, if sometimes the Bible can be a little bit boring, yeah, it can be a bit much. Remember that. Remember Star Wars. Every time you watch Star Wars, and how many times have you watched those movies? Every time there's a new one, you watch them all again and over again. Every time you watch it, remember that's what's happening. They're teaching. It's the teaching, the cycle of passing the baton on to the next one. The disciple seeks the rabbi, right? Rabbi agrees to mentor the disciple. The disciple becomes a rabbi, right? So which one are you? Which one are you out of that picture there? Yeah? Anakin, never a truer word has been spoken, Josh. And that is why you're here today. You are Anakin. Oh, dear. That was unscripted, but that was perfect. And Josh, sorry, I actually didn't see you there because you're wearing camouflage. Yeah, nice trick. You've got two choices, okay? You've got two choices, to be a disciple or be a rabbi, okay? Now, you're going to say, I'm not really up to being a rabbi and not really up to being an apprentice or a disciple, so I'm going to sit on the sidelines and I'll watch other people. What happens if we decide to sit on the sidelines and watch other people? What's going to happen? No one's going to teach them electricity. Yep, what's going to happen? Knives, toasters. Yep, boom. Josh, exactly right. That's what's going to happen. So there's no choice for you guys as to whether you want to be a disciple or not. Be a disciple or we're going to have knives and toasters. Yeah? Yeah. And for us, we've got no choice about whether we want to teach them or not, because if we don't teach them, they're not going to be here. What is it, Josh, again? Boom. That's what's going to happen. It will stop in one generation. We've got to teach them. And you don't have a choice about whether you want to play or not. You have to play. Because if you don't have play, what's going to happen to your kids? Electricity, knives and toasters. Yes. Please don't go home and do it. I'm serious, Daniel. Don't do that. I want to quote the great philosopher Troy Bolton. Next slide. What does Troy say? I've got to get my head in the game. Get my head in the game. You've got to get your head in the game. Yeah? Amen. Oh, Hope's laughing. I haven't seen Hope laugh for a while. Okay. You don't have a choice whether you want to get your head in the game. Yeah? Do you want to get your head in the game? You do? Good. That's good. Can you sing it for us? No, you did yesterday. But that counts for us too. Okay? We've got to get our heads in the game and not sit on the sidelines and think that these kids have got it all together or that they don't listen to us. I assure you that all these kids over 13 don't listen to a word we say. Yep. Just wait, it gets worse. There's your word of encouragement for the day. They don't listen to what we say, but they do watch what we do. Yes. So Daniel, up here. Come on, up here. So not only does he watch what I do, he also listens to what we say. It just goes in one ear and out the other. But I just want to do the example. Daniel, you know this trick. So why not, you need to listen. Yes? How do you listen? No, hang on. Don't, you can do this again. Take the microphone and you tell me how you listen.
With my ears.
Yep, keep going.
With my, oh, with my eyes.
With your eyes, that's right. Give me your undivided attention. Keep going.
Body actions, I guess.
Yep, face your feet. Face me with your feet. Yeah. Where should your hands be?
I don't know.
Not like this. Hands ready to listen. Yeah. Hips should be facing me. Your entire body should have undivided attention. That's how you listen. And when you see that from a kid, I don't think I've ever seen that from my children. They're listening. Yeah? You'll get those moments when they listen. Grab that moment. Yeah? Grab it. Off you go. So Jesus says the Great Commission. Next slide. Who was he talking to? He's talking to the disciples? Correct. Okay. Pretty accurate picture of the disciples? Yeah? Pretty happy with that picture? Who's the old geezer up the back? Who's the old bloke? Up the back. Top left. Is he one of the disciples? Yeah? He's talking to the 12 disciples. So there, Judas hasn't left yet. Don't try counting, mate. Concentrate what we're trying to do here. Anakin, pay attention. Is that the disciples? Yeah? It's not the disciples. Okay? We get this idea from movies that that's what the disciples look like. Okay? Yeah? I want you to work with me. Next slide. I'm going to run through a few of these. How old was Jesus? Get an idea, he's about 30. Someone here about 30? Jared. Up you get. No, you're Jesus. Up you come. Yep. This is not a democracy. Do as you're told. Okay? So here's Jesus. Okay? Jesus was a young dude. I know Jared isn't, but we'll work with him, okay? So if Jesus was 30 when he began his public ministry, and we read about that in Luke 3, that's what's up there, so you can read. Very, very good, you're looking up there. The disciples were generally younger than their teacher, right? Okay, so the disciples would be under 30. Okay, so if the disciples are under 30, and Jesus refers to them as what? John 13, 33, my children. He's talking to his disciples at that point. He says, my children, and he's telling them that he's about to go. All right? So if he's referring to his children, how old do you think they'd be? A fair bit. Okay. So, you two. Many of the disciples were fishermen. So James and John, sons of Zebedee, they're out in the boat. They're preparing their nets. Jesus says, follow me. And they left their boat and their father followed them. And they followed Jesus, James and John. How old do you reckon James and John were? They were old enough to have learned enough about the Bible. And they were old enough that when they were called by a rabbi to go, that they went. So they were probably between 13 and 15. Did we know any kids here, James and John, sons of thunder, as they were known, who are 13 to 15? Pat up. Up you come. I want you to say, follow me.
Follow me.
There we go. Jesus has called you. Okay? But this is scary. When Jesus came to Peter's house, he saw Peter's mother-in-law lying in bed with a fever. What do we get the idea of Peter? Peter's old enough to be married. So scholars think Peter was probably mid-ish 20s. Have we got anyone here in their mid-ish 20s? 20 to 25. Jeshua?
Come follow me.
There's Peter. How are we going? Is this scary yet? About this is the disciples? Yeah?
Yeah?
They reckon John was 15. They reckon Matthew was probably his early 20s. So if the culture was that you learned your Old Testament by the time you're 5, and then about 12 to 13, you started to look around for a rabbi to teach her, and then you followed the rabbi until you turned 30. It's a long apprentice school, okay? And then you go and get your own disciples. So the guess is most of them were about 13 to 15, maybe up to 25 at the highest, with John the youngest and Peter the oldest. So, all you people aged 13 to 25.
Come follow me.
Up you get. No, you're 13 today. Up you get. So if you're 13 to 25, I want you up here. And 12 too. And there's plenty of room for you guys up here. I got some bad news. Jesus, go home. You've delivered the Great Commission. You've done your job. How many have we got? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Oh, we got 11. Where was the 12th? Yeah, the 12th. Look at that. Wow. You should have disguised that a little bit better. So these guys here are the ones who received the word from Jesus. These guys here are the ones that made the Christian church. Can you jump one slide back? Is that right? It wasn't those blokes. It wasn't the old guy up the back with the white hair that's listening to the message of Jesus. It was these guys. Now, I look at you guys and I'm going to say, if I had to pass the word on, Jesus' word to an entire world of God's message and how to be saved, I wouldn't pick you. Be encouraged. I didn't see you there, Josh, you're camouflaged. But that's what Jesus did. Okay? They memorized the Old Testament. They went looking for a rabbi. In this case, the rabbi found them and the rabbi said,
and cross your arms and come follow me.
Oh, you're not listening. You're not listening, are you? And if you think it didn't work, and if you think Jesus mucked it up, we're here today because of you guys, because of you disciples. The 11 disciples changed the world, okay? So did Jesus do the wrong thing by picking young people? Not at all, okay? So what's your role in this? Your role is to be a disciple, yeah? And to listen. Listen all the time. How do you listen again, Daniel? Not with your hands in your pockets. With your hands out and your feet facing the front. Unbelievable. How amazing is that? Now, what happens when Jesus tries to get, when children try to get close to Jesus? So really young children, really young kids. Give me another five. Do I get another five? Yeah. Two slides forward. Matthew 19, 13 to 15. The people brought little children for Jesus to place his hands on them and pray for them. The people, that's these old people around here. The disciples, the teenagers and young 20s, rebuked them. And Jesus said, back in your box, kids. Let the little children come to me and do not stop them. The kingdom of heaven belongs to them. He placed his hands on the kids and he went from there. Think about that, okay? So that you guys, teenagers, starting to get a little ahead of yourselves and thinking, No. I haven't put it up on the board. What happened when they said to Jesus and they said, which among us is the best? Yeah? Yeah? That happened. I won't tell you the story. You can read it. What did Jesus say? What happens if you harm a child? Matthew 18:6. If anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it'd be better for them to have a large millstone hung around their neck and be drowned in the depths of the sea. That's some pretty tough stuff. You're going to put a concrete block around their necks and chuck them in the ocean if you harm a child, if you cause a child to sin. So the opposite of discipling. So that's for us, guys. If you harm one of these kids, Jesus is saying to you, chuck yourself in the ocean with a concrete block around your neck. Yep. That's pretty scary stuff. And that's coming from the Prince of Peace. We've got a really important job to do with you guys. You're not that tall, are you? So our job is to care about these kids, yeah? Yep. If we don't care about these kids, who's going to care for them? The world is. And I got to tell you, the world sees things differently. They're not wanting you guys to be disciples. They want to get you and they want to use you and abuse you, okay? Our job's to protect them and be there for them. And for the, from the oldest person in this room to the youngest person in this room, our job is to care for these kids. Yep. But what do? We spend all our time worrying about getting stuff. Yeah, we want to accumulate stuff. Who wants more stuff? I do. Yeah, I want more stuff. Don't be about getting more stuff. Don't be about seeing more things, experiencing really good things. Because guess what happens when you die? You can't take it with you. We got to be like Jesus said and care about kids. Okay? What happens if we invest in new kids? Josh, just to make sure you've been paying attention. Who will you impact? The next kids. And the next kids for generation after?
Generation.
Very good. You did get there. So, next slide. I'm going to read that Great Commission again. Well, this is scary. Then the 11 disciples, Exhibit A, went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some of them doubted. And Jesus said to them, to you, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go, not now, I saw you move. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. Pretty tough, eh? And I am with you always to the very end of the age. Jesus is not going to leave you alone. He's saying, I'm going with you, okay? We can all be rabbis. Did you know that? Yep. Everybody here can be a rabbi. Men, women, young, old, we get to minister to these guys. And you'll say, I haven't got anything good to offer. What does God say? What does it say up there, Josh? After the little 19 bit, it says, therefore,
go and make disciples of all nations.
That's it. I'll cut you off there. Go and make disciples. God's saying going to make disciples. He doesn't say only if you've got good things or only if you're clever or only if you look good or only if you can speak publicly or whatever. He just says go and make disciples. That's all of our job. I remember that when I became a chaplain and I didn't know what I was doing. Still don't. The word was said to me that, and you've probably heard it before, God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. Yeah, we are called right there on the board to make disciples. Yep. You guys are getting uncomfortable now, are you? You've been up there a while. I've preached before about people in my life who made a difference to me. And I distinctly remember for some reason I was about you boys' age. And I was playing in a basketball final and I played and did my thing. And after I came after the game and there were all these strangers there. But people who knew me and knew my parents came out to watch me play. That tiny little thing that some strangers did, that I only really knew him as mum and dad's friend, that came to see me, impacted me. We can do that. Yeah? Yeah? Take an interest in what these kids are doing. Yep. And if you don't know what they're doing, ask them. Yep. It's not just the parents in this room that have to do it. We all got to do it. Why do we all have to do it? Read it up there. Go and make disciples. Yep. Henry Longer, one of the other things he said on Friday night to us was about his neighbour's, did I get this right, Pauline? His neighbour's child at school and his neighbour's having some difficulties at home in his life and all the rest of it. And this kid at the school, this young little girl by the name of Bridget Webb, spoke to them about God. If you think these guys aren't going to make a difference to the next generation, the Christian church was built on you guys. It was not built on those old blokes. It was built on you. And I still have no idea what Jesus was doing. But he knew more than I do. Yeah. The musicians want to come up if we want to close with a song. Just want to pray for you guys. Our job is to make disciples. And we want you to make disciples. Lord, thank you for this incredible potential that stands in front of us today. Help us to be deliberate about teaching them. Take an interest in them, to get to know them and know that if we don't, knives and toasters, electricity, The world is dangerous. It wants to grab these kids and do things with them that we don't want, that you don't want. All we have to do is take an interest and guide them and teach them. And all they have to do is listen. Let's be intentional about discipling them so that in their time, they'll make disciples too. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can go now.